Do you ever feel like nobody's listening? One of the most convicting questions for me is when I hear, "What did I just say?" And I'll go, "I was listening. It's, I don't know." And so that begs the question, was I really listening? You know, the following quotes are from two imaginary journal entries of a wife and her husband who reflect on the same day's events. So in her journal, she writes, "Tonight my husband was acting weird. We made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner and conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet to talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong and he said, nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset and he said he wasn't upset, that it was had nothing to do with me and simply not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. And when we got home, he sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. And finally, the silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed. But I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I don't know what to do." His journal entry, "Rough day. Boat wouldn't start. Can't figure out why." If we want to be good listeners, then we need to think of ourselves as someone who comes alongside another person, not to give advice, but to learn the other person's real story. What's really going on? You know, the Bless Initiative that we're looking at in these next 4 weeks is about engaging in practical ways to participate in the work that God is already doing in the lives of those around us, the lives of people who are far from God. So the last time we talked about the Bless Initiative, we covered this first letter, which was B, and that was that we begin with prayer. And I think Angela reminds us that that first foundational work of anything that we do is prayer, finding out where God is at work. We recognize that it's God's mission that we are on. We are co-missionaries with God in God's mission. And so we ask, where are you already at work, Lord? And we can't do anything on our own, so we ask God, where do you want me to join you in that work that you are doing? So where can we come alongside and participate with God in the places where he is already at work in our lives? And so 2 weeks ago, we were invited to make a list of people that we know. We called it a Frank list, which is simply who are our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, our neighbors, our coworkers who are far from God. And who are those that God would be really putting on our hearts? Maybe 3 to 5 names of people whom God is already at work in their lives, drawing them closer to God. And as we put those lists on the page, then to be praying, engaging with God, how do you want me to partner with you, to walk with you in drawing these people closer to you, God? And so if you were a part of that, that's great. Last week we had 232 names of families or individuals that were on that list, represented right here from the church. And if you didn't get a chance to do that, there are some handouts back there that you can get after worship service. And I encourage you to write that. If not, there's maybe some cards you can just write those names and put one in your Bible or keep it with you so you can pray for them each day. And the second one, make 2 copies. The second one, hand to an usher, and those names go in our Wednesday prayer lab, and they're prayed over and will continue to be prayed over the next 4 weeks, and then they will be prayed over by the denomination this summer as during the annual meeting. And so I think it's huge. I think it's significant that 232 families and individuals are going to be prayed for continually, hopefully daily, as we ask God, how do you want us to come alongside your work in their lives? And imagine, really, what can happen when God begins to use us to bring them closer to him. I was prompted last week to sit down with someone and ask a couple questions, and I was really privileged to hear their story, and I began to understand so much more about this particular person, and I was really blessed to share in that part of their journey. You know, just simply listening to what they had to say. You know, when I think about sharing Jesus with someone, I sometimes get worried that I'm going to get messed up, or I think it's some kind of complicated task that I might think this work of blessing others by coming alongside them is somehow too hard, or maybe it seems awkward or complex or mysterious or difficult. And I really don't think that it has to be that way. I don't think God intends it that way. You know, there are those times. I was in a station in Breckenridge on Friday evening, and I felt a prompting, an urging to engage in a conversation with someone there, a stranger. And I have to admit, that's not my strong suit, engaging with strangers. And I really didn't know what to say. And I'm up here telling you today that I never actually got it done. It was a good idea. I think it was Lord's prompting, but I didn't do it. And so, but I think this Bless initiative is about something even more simple, something even more uncomplicated. It's really not about strangers at all. It's about people that we are already in relationship with, and we're around, and people who are searching. And so it's about the 232 families and individuals that we already know, that we already have a relationship with, that we are already engaged in their lives. So what if we, as followers of Jesus, simply spend time with the people who are far from God and provide a safe place to talk about spiritual things? What if we listen to others in such a way that we discover what is actually really important to them? And after all, that's what Jesus did, and it's what you and I can do as well. So if we want to bless someone on our list who is far from God, then bless them by being a good listener. So L stands for, in the Bless Initiative, it stands for listen with care. And as we engage the story again, we hear that they were on their way to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples, all these crowds were around, and then there's blind Bartimaeus. And he's sitting along the road, he's begging, probably with a bunch of other beggars, and when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." You know, did Bartimaeus feel like nobody was listening? It was the Jewish Passover. There would have been probably tens of thousands of people passing through Jericho. You know, it was probably typical to have beggars alongside, you know, asking for their needs, and crowds were on their way. And what makes Bartimaeus stand out? You know, when he hears that it's Jesus coming by, he shouts out something that maybe was different than the other beggars were saying. He shouts, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, this is a significant term because it's a term that recognizes Jesus as the coming Messiah, as the one who is coming to save his people, as God's son. And so Bartimaeus applies that to Jesus. You know, he may have heard about Jesus' reputation. I mean, it was becoming well known now that Jesus was a healer. He maybe simply was appealing to his mercy for healing. But we ask the question, how is God uniquely at work in the life of this blind beggar in this moment? You know, Bartimaeus was appealing to the one who he believes is God's son, to Jesus. So to anyone listening, Bartimaeus has a story to tell, one in which we begin to see God is at work. So sometimes seeing God at work is as simple as asking someone what they believe about Jesus. You know, this is one question that reveals a lot about what God is up to in someone's life. And it helps inform us about how we might respond to a person's questions.
Who is Jesus?
I believe he was a person.
He's the Son of God.
I don't believe Jesus ever really existed.
He's Son of God.
If I have to answer that question, I would say God.
He plays on the wing for Chelsea.
if you read the Bible, I don't think I believe in all of that.
Everything. You can be any, but for me, he's everything.
Who is Jesus? To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not super religious or anything, so. I mean, I guess he's a savior or something.
Personally, I think that Jesus was probably a really cool dude who lived a long time ago and gave great advice to people, and it snowballed from there.
Who is Jesus? Now, that may be a good place to start. When we're listening, we realize that each person has a story to tell that can reveal how God is at work in their lives. But nobody was listening to blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho. We read in verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on us." You know, the Bible scholars aren't sure why people wanted Bartimaeus to be quiet. It could have been, some suggest that they were uncomfortable with him calling Jesus Messiah. You know, it would bring some trouble upon them, or they maybe didn't want to be held up on this way to the Jewish Passover feast. There was lots of crowds, and they just wanted to keep moving. Or maybe they didn't want him to bother the teacher, the rabbi. Or maybe they just felt that he just wasn't that important. You know, it could have been all those reasons, really, but they're trying to silence the blind man, and he was shouting, they were talking, is anyone listening? Is anyone really listening? So we live in a world where it's getting harder and harder to really listen. I know, you know, I have the same problem. You know, these devices are quite handy. In fact, I think they get me where I really need to go more often than I want to admit. And help me to stay on time generally. But, you know, they can also be quite distracting, you know, when you get in a conversation and somebody's talking to you and, oh, look at that. And somebody's saying, You know, there's a gorilla standing behind you playing basketball. And then might ask, what did I just say? Remember that question? I'm not quite sure. Dave Ferguson writes, you know, to bless the world, to bless the people God brings our way, we need to be good at listening. I'm going to make sure I have this on silent. There we go. We want to be good listeners in our community. We want to be good listeners in our workplaces. We want to listen well to our families. Listen to our classmates. We want to listen to the hurts and the needs and the wounds of the people that God has placed in our lives. And we must be listening for what people really need. And sometimes that means we need to talk less and maybe much less. I think I'm beginning to realize that Cheryl has become a better listener than I am. Okay, I'm admitting it. And I'm realizing that she's been very patient with me as well. You know, when we get into conversation and I begin to tell her about all the great insights that I have and all the great thoughts, and pretty soon I realize that she's just standing there staring at me, and I'm like, Cheryl, why aren't you talking? And she responds to me, well, can you guess? Because you haven't stopped talking. Exactly. I'm not listening. So the psalmist reminds us that listening is at the heart of discovery in everything about God. The psalmist says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And this includes discovering where God is at work in the lives of those around us. So to bless people on Jesus' mission is what we are on. We listen to people's needs and stories more then we talk. On the road out of Jericho, the blind man won't be silenced, and someone is listening after all. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. You know, Jesus' response to the cries of Bartimaeus are different than what the crowd was doing. Maybe it's that title, Son of God, that catches his attention. Maybe he sees in Bartimaeus a believing faith. The Bible doesn't say for sure, but for me, I think I'm really grateful as this reminder that someone is listening to this blind beggar, and he's still listening today. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, the question Jesus asked is, "What do you want me to do for you?" In other words, what's the real story, Bartimaeus? What do you have to share? You know, sometimes the best thing that you and I can do to begin a spiritual conversation is just ask a very simple question. You know, there are several listed in our bulletin today. Conversations started on the backside of that little page there. Some of those are pretty good. You know, I think about that one, "What is your faith story? What's your faith journey? You know, what is God doing in your lives?" As covenanters, we used to ask, you know, "How is God at work? How is your walk with Jesus?" Very simple stories, and then listen to what people are saying. Are you going to get that for me? Thank you. That's very kind. Oh, you're going to keep it. You can keep it. You know, the key is to ask the question, but then to stop talking and to truly listen. How is God at work in their lives? How is God inviting us to bless them on their journey? You know, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus could heal him. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And it was his pain that drove Bartimaeus to Jesus. It was his blindness. And as is always the case in this mission of Jesus, that the physical healing is truly secondary to something that's far more important, and that is the spiritual healing, that new life that we have when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. You know, we don't want to miss the primary focus of this passage, and it is on Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he has the power and authority not only to heal the blind man, but to forgive us of our sins and heal what ails us. He's able to restore our relationship with the Father. So today, we're called to listen to the cries, the pain, the heart, the stories of those around us, to see how Jesus is at work. But we also recognize that we can't bless others without first receiving God's blessing. And so if we are that blind Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus, "Son of God, have mercy on us," then we recognize as well that he is listening to our cry, that he is the one who comes to give us sight and insight into his grace and his love that heals our wounds and heals our soul. And so come to Jesus. Receive all that he has for you, that you might then join him in his mission to bless others. And on that mission, we are called to begin with prayer, to ask God, "How are you at work in the lives of those around us?" And then become a good listener, coming alongside others to hear their real story. The good news is it doesn't take a degree in public speaking. We don't have to prepare a lecture for our neighbor. We simply ask the questions, meaningful conversation starters. It's a lot better method for sharing our faith. And sometimes we'll discover that God is at work in unexpected places. Carissa Smith shares this story. "My four-month-old daughter and I took a trip to the library. The daughter babbled softly as I browsed through the books. As we walked, I heard an older man say gruffly, 'Tell that kid to shut up or I will.' Angrily, I responded, 'I am very sorry for what in your life has caused you to be so disturbed with a happy baby, but I will not tell my baby to shut up, and I will not let you do so either.' I braced myself, expecting an outburst from him, and instead he looked down, took a deep breath, and said softly, 'I apologize.' He looked up at me with tears in his eyes and remained silent. And finally, he looked at my daughter, He smiled at him and she happily kicked her arms and legs. He wiped his eyes and said slowly, "My son died when he was 2 months old." I moved to sit in a chair next to him, and he went on to explain that his son died from SIDS over 50 years ago. And he described how his anger grew, leading to a failed marriage and isolation. And I asked him to tell me about his son. And as he did so, he smiled back and forth with my daughter. And eventually he asked to hold her. And as he held her, his shoulders relaxed. And briefly, he laid his cheek on her head. He returned her to me with a heartfelt thank you. I thanked him for sharing his story, and he quickly departed. Here's our challenge. Be the one person in someone's life this week who listens with care.